57. The light of the world is Jesus. How many believe that tonight? Put your hand up. Amen. Okay. 57 in the brown hymnal. 57.
Well, now that you're all seated and settled, why don't we just stand up and greet each other this evening for a little bit before we begin. I'm going to have a very, very short devotion, but before I have the devotion, I just want to share a few prayer concerns for people in the church that we need to remember. I visited Mary Ann Gibble this afternoon, and she is in Cedar Haven. If you want to drop in and see her, she'd be good. That would be good. She is in rehab. She's doing better than she was. She had this back operation, so she's at Cedar Haven. I also saw Carl Wenger, and Carl is in Manor Care. He's also going through rehab as well. We've been also praying for Lori Saracini, and she had surgery, and she's at home right now. So let's just give you a few people to lift up in prayer. We're going to have prayer after the devotion this evening. I want to read for our devotion this evening. The theme for tonight is, you know, the light. And I want to read from Psalm 27. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to read that with me. Psalm 27, verses 1 through 4. This is a psalm of David. And David says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." It's interesting how the Lord led me to this text. It was actually last night when I couldn't sleep. Do you ever notice sometimes when you can't sleep, sometimes that's when God speaks to your heart, and that's the way it is with me. And I like to meditate on Scripture over and over again, and this came to my heart. And this Psalm 27, is very personal to me because it goes back to when I was in college. I was assigned to exegete and explain Psalm 27 as one of my first assignments in my Old Testament class in college. And that was very nerve-wracking because for me, college was a very stressful time. It was the beginning of my preparation time for ministry. I was a little bit older as a student, and I was never really good at taking tests. And so Psalm 27 spoke to me then when it talks about fear, and it still does today. The main theme is, he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." And because of that truth from the Word of God, we should not fear. Fears are not a good thing. Fears paralyze us. They make us unhealthy. They make us worry. You know, the only fear we should have is a fear for the Lord, which is a reverent fear of God. But even the strongest leaders of the Bible had fears. And one of those leaders was King David, who wrote Psalm 27. In fact, did you ever wonder why David wrote so many psalms on fear? Because he had fear. He had fear. But David also said, the Lord delivered him out of his fears. I remember when I was a small child, I was scared of the dark. We used to live in an old farmhouse, and I was always scared to go upstairs by myself. I must have been about 5 or 4. I could never go upstairs by myself. Someone always had to go with me. And I remember this light that was in my bedroom. It was at the edge of my bed in the little closet. I used to call it the little light. And when my mother would tuck me in bed, I must have been, you know, about 4 or 5, I always told her, "Can you put the little light on?" And I would not go to bed. I remember I would not go to bed unless I saw that little light. Maybe this is why Jesus calls himself the light, because we need to come to him. He tells us that we are to receive the light, take the light of Christ in, because we need him to cast out our fears. Tonight, may we put our fears into the arm of the Savior. Let us pray. Gracious God, we're so grateful for this time of revival this evening, Lord God. We're privileged and honored to receive the message of the Word of God. We thank you so much for Brother Chris, who has been preaching from the Word, and Lord, we need to take in the Word. And I just pray that you just anoint him from on high as he gives the message this evening, Lord, that we would be open to hear what you have for us. And tonight, Lord, we do pray for those who are in need right now, physical needs. We lift up Mary Ann Gibble and Carl Winger, who are in homes right now in rehab. We pray that you give Mary Ann and Carl your physical strength and encouragement, Lord. Be with them in their rehab, that they be able to gain the strength they need to get back home. We also lift up Lori Saracini, Lord, after surgery. We're grateful that his surgery went fine, but we do lift up her right now in her recovery time. And we ask now that you would lead us as we continue to worship you in this night of revival. We thank you and praise you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand and sing the next song. It's a song of praise. All hail the power of Jesus' name, number 268. Would you stand, please? Seated. This time we're going to have special music by Cindy Smith.
Good evening. Thank you for coming out and worshiping tonight. It's always a blessing to see people who love the Lord come in and listen to his word. My first song is going to be He Who Began a Good Work in You, because God does begin a good work in us when we come to him as his children. And so that's what I'm going to sing first. And these are my cheat sheets, in case I forget.
Good work in you. He who began a good work in you. You're facing is slowly replacing your hope with despair, and if the process is long and you're losing your song in the night, you can be sure that the Lord has his hand on you, safe and secure. He will never finds his pleasure in you. He who began a good work in you and me. He who began a good work in you.
Brother Chris tonight to have the evening prayer.
God's holy word says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we know from your word that they are singing in heaven. When Isaiah shockingly found himself in the presence of God, the song is, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and forever will be." Lord, may it never get stale. May we never become complacent, that we can enter your throne room of grace, not because of who we are, but because of the shed blood of Jesus. The curtain was torn asunder from top to bottom, revealing that all humanity who is washed in the blood of Jesus, has access to the throne room of grace. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your sovereignty over all creation. Thank you that before the beginning, before the creation of anything, you knew that we would be here this evening. Thank you, Lord, for gathering us together. We gather together to honor you, Jesus, for you're worthy of our praise. From everlasting to everlasting, you're the Lord God Almighty. Slow to anger, full of grace and mercy, who forgives us our sin as far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed our transgressions from us. Lord, we need your light. Jesus, you said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Thank you, Jesus, for being the light of God, the revelation of God. And Lord, as we gather this evening, may our hearts and our minds be fertile ground for your truth and for your light, that indeed we may rejoice, that we may rejoice in the Lord this evening. Thank you for blessing us so richly. I pray for the sake of Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture reading this evening is taken from 1 John chapter 1, and I will leak into chapter 2. Chapter 1 only has 10 verses, so Cynthia is going to sing again. I normally ask her to sing before the message. I just think that the Holy Spirit works through music and works in a way that that really allows the message, gives a good boost to the message. So the scripture this morning is 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, through chapter 2, verse 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. Beloved, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Thus saith the Lord. Thank you.
God. Be still and know that He is holy. Be still, O restless heart of mine. Bow before the Prince of Peace. Let the noise and clamor cease. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is faithful.
Thank you, Cynthia. That's a message in and of itself, amen? Very difficult in the day in which we live to be still. We're all very busy people. Even when you were, just washed my tongue, can't do a thing with it. Even when you retire, right? Still busy. But we need to be still before the Lord. It's where we get our sense of well-being. Jesus himself had to be still before the Father. He oftentimes went into solitary places, away from the crowds and away from the disciples as well. And oftentimes before the greatest, his greatest confrontations, and he had many, especially in the last year of his ministry, more and more, right up to the Garden of Gethsemane. Children of God, remember, not all of creation are children of God. All of creation are children of the fall until we put our faith in Jesus Christ. And then we become supernaturally children of God. We're not descendants, physical descendants, but supernaturally born of the Spirit, born again. Then we can see the kingdom of heaven. Then we can enter the kingdom of heaven one day. Children of truth, and if I could connect to tonight from last night, the end of John 3, 20, 21, Jesus' words, these are the words of Jesus himself. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth, children of truth, comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. And again, that's John 3, 20 and 21. And so this evening I'm talking about children of light. Of course, Jesus is the light of the world. But he has promised, this is a wonderful promise, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We have the light of life because light is life. Darkness is death. So as we look at 1 John 1, that which was from the beginning, remember in John's gospel, the very first words he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, talking about Jesus. And so he starts it out pretty similar. That which was from the beginning, Jesus is part of the Creator, Father and Holy Spirit, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, these are eyewitness accounts, which we have looked at, a better translation is, which we have examined closely. Remember, they walked with the Lord for 3 years, approximately, day and night. You know, they didn't go home and Jesus didn't go somewhere else, day and night. They have examined him. His walk was consistent with his talk, which we have looked at, examined, and our hands have touched. Makes me think of Thomas. After the resurrection, Jesus appeared to the disciples in the upper room that night. However, Thomas didn't happen to be there. So a week later, they're still in the room, and Thomas, who gets kind of a raw deal, I think, by being the doubter, he just wanted to see himself. And Jesus invites him, put your finger in my wound. And then he exclaims, my Lord and my God, which we have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. Jesus is the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life. Not just life, but eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. It's always good to remember that Jesus left the kingdom of heaven where angels bowed down and worshiped him continuously. He left the glory and the power, the infinite nature of God, and humbled himself and became flesh and blood, even a little child. We can learn humility from God. Amen? From Jesus. We proclaim to you, we have seen and heard. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. It should be a joyful occasion when we can encourage one another in the faith. It should be a joyful occasion when we can come and worship together in the faith. This fellowship with God is a joyful occasion, and we are invited in. John wants to invite him in. This is the message we have heard from him and declared to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Not a speck. The holiness of God, the purity of God. He is truth. And when Jesus walked the earth, he was truth incarnate. God manifests his truth through Jesus Christ. And he wants to manifest his truth through us, children of God. And he is light, pure light. And that light is the revelation of God. As light reveals what's in the darkness, Jesus reveals the truth of all we need to know. in him, God is light, God the Father is light. In him there is no darkness at all, not a speck. Now verse 6, these next 6 verses are going to contrast the difference between children of God and children of the fall who have not put their faith in God. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet we order our life in the sin realm, we walk in darkness. Our life is living in sin. We're living in sin. Then we lie and do not live by the truth. Now, one of the things I want to share, I'm not sure if you're walk in darkness. How do you walk in darkness? I wanted to go back to the scripture that I read from Genesis. Remember the children of the fall, that description of the children of the fall in Genesis 6. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts and his heart was only evil all the time. Now, how can that be? How can the inclination of the thoughts and of his heart was only evil all the time? Can't children of the fall think of something good sometime? Shouldn't it be possible? The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. God feels pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind from creation. I want to invite you to turn to Isaiah chapter 53. And this kind of sheds some light. It sheds some light on how you can say, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. Walking in darkness means our everyday life, walking in darkness. Tozer says that, I think it's verse, why don't I look? Yeah, verse 6, Tozer calls the best description of sin that he's aware of in the Bible. 53:6, and it helps us to know that walking in darkness is a state of a fall or a fallen human being. We know that he was pierced for our transgressions. That in Isaiah, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon Jesus, and by his wounds we are healed. Amen? We can all say amen to that. The next verse defines darkness, defines sin. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord, the Father, has laid upon him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. And so it is the sin nature, my own way. The sin nature is the root of all sin. All sin is produced by the sin nature, my right to myself. That was the sin of Adam and Eve. Their rebellion to God was, I will eat this fruit. In willful disobedience to God. And that right to myself is identifying children of the fall. I've mentioned the cross out there with all the sins on it. Those are sins, plural. Sin singular is the root, the sin nature. In the old days, we used to call it the old man. the old man, the old is gone and the new has come, or the flesh. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Jesus took upon himself our sin. And it simply is my way. And so all those sins listed, and there are others, they're the fruit of the sin nature. The sin nature's the root, my own way. And the sins are just the fruit. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit comes from the Holy Spirit, is produced by the Holy Spirit in a believer. The fruit of the sin nature is sins, or our sins. And probably tomorrow night, I've had this parable on my heart for, well, since before Sunday, the parable of the weeds. You see, that sin nature needs to die. It needs to die. That's why Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. He's talking about his sin nature has died. Jesus said, deny yourself. Take up your cross daily, die daily, and follow me. That sin nature put Jesus Christ on the cross. And because we have come to Jesus for the forgiveness of our sin, the next step is to consecrate our lives to the Lordship of Jesus. We say Savior and Lord in the same breath. They're two different things. We have to be saved before we can bow down to him as Lord. We have to see the kingdom of heaven before we can enter into that relationship with God. My own way. And so when he says in 1 John, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, yet continue to be obedient to the sin nature, we lie and do not live by the truth. That's the theological explanation for holiness or consecration, holiness or sanctification. We must sanctify our lives before the Lord. Now, remember the sin nature, our own way, is the root that causes the fruit of sin. That's a negative fruit. I keep pointing out there because it's on the wall out there, all those sins. Okay, the sin nature is the root that produces the fruit. And until that root dies, we will continue to produce fruit. Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, these things I keep on doing. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Praise be to God through Jesus Christ. And so we have to be rescued from that sin nature. And the way to do it is to bow down to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, there are weeds everywhere. If you want to read the parable of the weeds, it's in Matthew 13. I'll probably hit it tomorrow. Do you mow your weeds? Pastor Marty mows his weeds. How are you doing in getting rid of them? Oh, yeah. See, mowing them doesn't get rid of them. Mowing them doesn't get rid of them. You have to kill the root, right? You have to kill the root to get rid of the weed. The sin nature has to die, and he starts off right off in this letter. If you claim to have fellowship with God, yet you're walking in darkness of the sin nature, I'm adding sin nature, you lie and do not live by the truth, because God didn't redeem us to walk in darkness. I want to get back to 1 John here. But, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, if we order our lives in the revelation and the light of Jesus Christ, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship with God, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Wow. Purifies us from that sin nature. I think it's in Galatians maybe 5:16. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not desire to gratify the sin nature. And so if we walk in the light, we will avoid that sin nature completely, that darkness. And when we do sin, it's not from the sin nature, it's just because we're human. And the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. It's a beautiful promise, but it requires walking in the light of Jesus. Remember, children of light. Remember the condemned world. They don't want to know the truth. They don't want to come to the light. We need to come to the light, to come to Jesus. Not the light of my mind or your mind, but the light of Christ. I want to share one more. I shared relativism the other night. The doctrine that knowledge, truth, and morality exist in relation to culture, society, or historical context, and there are no absolutes, no absolute truth. Well, we know that's an error. The doctrine of Unitarianism, I'm not sure if you've ever heard of that before. It's a doctrine of freedom, reason, and tolerance. Unitarianism is an open-minded and welcoming approach to faith that encourages individual freedom, equality for all, and rational thought. Everyone has their right to reach their own conclusions. Open to the insights from all faiths, science, the arts, the natural world, and everyday living. Beliefs can change in the light of new understanding and insight. Form principles from conscience, thinking, and life experiences. All welcome who have an open mind, share tolerant and inclusive views, who embrace free thought. The heresy of Unitarianism. There is only one light. Only one, Jesus. And there's no new light. There's no new light of conscience. There's only Jesus. There's only one light. And so we must be careful, because when somebody says, oh, I have new revelation or new light, no. The light is Jesus. And the only light you're going to get is from Jesus. And it doesn't matter what you think or what I think. Right? Remember, we're trying to create God in our own image in the day in which we live. That's what's happening. We're trying to create God in our own image. This is the God I want. This is the God that I like. And some of those things don't even make sense. Take the lie of tolerance. When do you stop tolerating? Do you tolerate pedophiles? I hope not. Do you tolerate drugs killing your children? I hope not. But this is what the enemy does. He sows these lies to try to deceive. And that's what the next verse is, verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We have a sin nature. We will have a sin nature until we go to be with Jesus someday. But the sin nature needs to be under the authority of God, under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And we won't desire to gratify the sin nature. We'll desire to gratify the Holy Spirit. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, 7 and 9, a beautiful promises. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Anybody remember my definition of righteousness? You're looking in the right place. Picture the cross. Three ways to describe holiness, sanctification, righteousness. They're the same thing, but they deal in different things. Holiness is purity of heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Conversely, cursed are the impure in heart, they won't see God. Those are my words. The first one was the Lord's words. So holiness is purity of heart, no sin. Sanctification is a consecrated, set-apart life. Remember I used marriage? When you come together, you devote yourself to one another. Take thee to be. You devote yourself. Better for worse, richer for poorer, sickness and health. You devote, the two become one. That's consecration. And after that, you are set apart for each other exclusively. That's set apart. That's sanctification, consecration, set apart. Righteousness is about relationships. Holiness, heart, sanctification, our lives. Righteousness, our relationships. Right relationship with God, right relationship with one another. Amen? Not hard. So if we sin in that way and confess our sin, what if we don't confess our sin? Do we still get forgiveness? It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So talking about relationships there, talking about relationships. Now, one of the things I want to just share this evening, because we're talking about children of the fall as well as redeemed children of the fall. We're all children of the fall. Some are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They have put their faith in Jesus Christ for the salvation of their souls. Can children of the fall do good things who have not been redeemed? Can they do good things? Well, of course they can. I don't know if you know the name. You probably do. Ted Turner, do you know the name? Avowed atheist. I'm not sure about today, but so many years ago, he avowed atheist, started Turner Broadcasting, Turner Networks, all that stuff. At one time, he was worth $3 billion. I believe this is probably 25 or 30 years ago. And he donated $1 billion to charity. Of course, children of the fall who are not redeemed can still do good things. I think he gave it to United Nations charities for charities around the world. $1 billion! That's a lot of money. Of course, when you have $3 billion, you know. Yeah. I'd like to invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 7. Chapter 7, beginning with verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, innocent and gentle, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you can recognize them. In other words, is it the fruit of the Holy Spirit or is it the fruit of the sin nature? Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you'll recognize them. The sin nature cannot produce righteousness. Only the Holy Spirit can produce righteousness in us. The sin nature can only produce bad fruit. But here's where I wanted to get to, verse 21. This answers the question, can children of the fall who are not redeemed do good things? Jesus, the words of Jesus, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. That's pretty clear. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. They have his title right. So I'm guessing these are church folk. But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Those are good things, aren't they? And Jesus responds, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Children of the fall who are not redeemed can do good things, but they'll never enter the kingdom of heaven because we must be born again, born of the Spirit. Verse 10 in 1 John. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar. Wow. That's not a good place to be. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. Children of the truth, sanctify them with the truth, Jesus said. Your word is truth. That's a really bad place to be. Remember, he's writing to the church. He's not writing to a municipality of heathens. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. Beloved, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. Just like the Holy Spirit is our advocate, Jesus is our advocate before God. He's at the right hand of the Father, even now interceding on our behalf. He's our advocate before the Father. When a child of God sins, Jesus says, they're one of mine. And the Father, I don't get this from Scripture, I'm saying it, okay? Don't take this for gospel. And the Father says, your blood forgives them, purifies them from all sin. The righteous one, who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, he is the atoning sacrifice, the propitiation. He is the righteous requirement that satisfies a holy God. A holy God requires a holy sacrifice, and that is Jesus. He is the atoning sacrifice for ours, for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. That is the whosoever believeth in him, not those who do not believe in him. He is the atoning sacrifice for whoever believes and receives him as Savior. It's interesting because I like a R.C. Sproul quote. He says, "We are not sinners because we sin. He says we sin because we are sinners. We are children of the fall. But praise be to God. If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ for the salvation of your souls, now we are children of God. Children of truth, children of light. And so we come to Jesus, who is the light. We come to him with our sins. We turn from darkness. We turn from sin. We repent and we return to God. And every time, like the prodigal son, the Father is there with open arms to receive us into his presence because of the shed blood of Jesus." Are you a child of the light? Do you come into the light of Christ for the forgiveness of sin? Are you walking in darkness? Do you have sin that you have not confessed to God? Is there something in you that you are holding on to? Brother mentioned pride earlier. Whew. That's one of the afflictions of that sin nature, our pride. I can handle this. There's a lot of sin in our world today. And the enemy's lying to a lot of people. And he's lying through a lot of people. And so Jesus is the light that we come to for the forgiveness of sin. So I'm not sure where you are this evening. Only you and God know that. No secrets with God. There just aren't. We can't hide anything from the Lord. And so if you have a need this evening, if you need to come to the light of Christ and make a confession, or if you need to come and consecrate your life and devote your life to Jesus, maybe you've never done that before. Maybe you've never married Jesus. That's devoting your life to Jesus. Remember, he is the groom and the church is his bride. Have you consecrated your life to him? Baptism is more than membership. Baptism is a sacred vow that you go down, the old person, and unless you come back up, you're going to be dead. You'll drown. You go down the old person and you come up the new creation in Christ. Are you that new creation? The opportunity is for anyone and everyone, the whosoever believeth in him. So as we sing our closing hymn, I'm sure it's Jesus Saves. Amen. If you need prayer this evening, please feel free to come forward and commune with the Lord. Come and commune with the Lord. Make sure he saved you, amen? Be sure. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. He wants to be yours. Amen? Tomorrow night's our last night. This goes way too fast. I don't know about for you, but it does for me. Children of Hope tomorrow night. I hope you're able to come out. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, that you are truth, that you are light, and you certainly are our hope. Thank you, Lord, for each person gathered this evening. And Lord, as your word was scattered abroad, I pray that it fell on fertile ground and that it would take root and that it would grow and produce a crop of good, of the fruit of the Spirit. I pray that the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit would be with you all. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.